even say feel white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it down, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want. ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day. All right. Well, the West Indies playing against England did very well in the ODIs. In fact, they're 1-1. But look at this. Two T20s at the region's Mecca, and the West Indies losing comfortably there, really. I mean, it was a bit of a blow, really. And they are now in St. Lucia. And the question we're asking, can the West Indies rebound? Can they win all three of these T20 matches in St. Lucia and go on to win? It's going to be a difficult assignment for them. What they've done is that they've made some changes to the squad. And I shall now tell you that Rodman Paul, of course, is the captain. Roston Chase, Matthew Ford, Sherman Hakmara, Terence Hines, Shea Hope, Akil Hossain, Azari Joseph, Brandon King, Evan Lewis, Gudicius Moti, Nicholas Poram, Shofian Rutherford, Romero Shepherd, and Shamar Springer comes in to the side. So we don't see Shamar Joseph there. They're playing in St. Lucia, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens as far as the final construct of the side is concerned. Alzari Joseph, he would have served his ban, so I'd imagine that he will actually play in St. Lucia. But it'll be no of his troubles. There are many who feel that the ban was rather soft and he should have gotten a stiffer in terms of punishment. But of course, that's something that we can discuss on Mason and Guests tonight. I know that there are a couple of people who have already joined us and they don't have a lot of time. In fact, I know when we look at the whole question of Leon Johnson, he's going to come and talk to us very, very soon. And of course, we also want to talk about the Bethels, certainly doing very well there with their son Jacob. Well, in the ODI game, he got a duck, but then we saw him bat very well in the T20s in both innings, and I'm sure his family would be very, very happy with his performance. So let's first of all go to Julian Charles, who joins us. Julius, let's start with you. We're very much on our way, of course, to St. Lucia. I'm actually going down to St. Lucia tomorrow to be with you to do some commentaries there. And I just want to find out from you, are the tickets going like hotcakes there in St. Lucia? Claudius Emmanuel from St. Lucia, as well as with us. I understand they've sold out already. Is that true? Can you tell me?
Well, I don't think you're pulling our legs as usual, Andrew.
Yes.
there is, of course, knowledge of the game in St. Lucia. And I don't get the feeling that it's going as hotcakes. But I'm sure that when the time comes, people will turn up to the game. I don't know. It's a Thursday. I don't know what the crowd is going to be like. But I do know that if West Indies should win on Thursday, you should have a bumper crowd on the weekend. So things are shaping up. I must say that with the rain that affected Barbados have also affected us here in St. Lucia. Ooh. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed so that we'll have a good day today. We had a good one today, that we'll have a good one tomorrow, and the field will be completely dried up.
Well, Claudius Emmanuel from St. Lucia has joined us as well. Claudius, I know you've been to the ground trying to get all the stuff in terms of the commentary setup. Can you tell us, do you expect a bumper crowd for the game on Thursday and then on the weekend? Claudius, talk to me.
Good evening. Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to all the other guests. As Julian said, Andrew, it's a little difficult to indicate whether we are going to have a bumper crowd. We know it's a West Indies team who tends to have good support. The two matches that have not gone their way will obviously be a bit of a negative in terms of the crowd. So I would think it's very important that West Indies starts well on Thursday with whatever crowd that shows up. I think that would be a sort of a barometer for what the weekend will be. If West Indies can pull back one to remain in the series, I think we're going to have a good combination for the weekend with the crowd really coming in to support.
And the tickets, in terms of costs, I mean, is it expensive? I know things are getting very expensive. We can't even go into the supermarket nowadays. Things are really costing you a lot. There's no question about that. You expect with the prices, they were reduced, of course, in Barbados. You think that would help if there's a significant reduction in the ticket prices in St. Lucia, Claudius?
Well, we have actually seen the prices. So they are lower for Thursday, and on the weekend, they have been put up a little. They are in the region, just under 100 EC. They range, Andrew, from about $20 to just over $100 EC for the main stand areas. Of course, the party stands and the pavilion, a little premium on that. Mm. But I think it's just about the average type of prices that you expect for international cricket. And I think people are going to patronize again.
No.
Yeah, but what I've seen, though, Claudius, is 30 US for Thursday and 50 US for each for the weekend.
So
again, I don't know how these prices compare.
30 US for Thursday.
30.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And on the weekend?
50 US. For the weekend, yeah. I don't know if Claudius have seen anything different, but that's what I saw.
Mm. Interesting. All right, now, we talked about prices. We looked at what's going to be happening, hopefully, in St. Lucia. But let's get to the meat of the matter now. Let's go to Don Topley. Don, you are doing commentaries with us on the weekend. Where did the West Indies go wrong? Can you tell me? Don?
Gosh, Andrew, a very good evening. Good evening, panel, and good evening to everybody listening. Gosh, one of the things that worries me is in these particular games, and including the third ODI, you win the toss, you win the game. You win the toss, you bowl first, whether it's a fresh wicket or not, and then you bat under lights when it is extremely, and it's so easier to bat under lights. But in the two T20s we've seen, the West Indies lost the toss, but they did fall three down. They lost three wickets in, I think, both successive days and successive power plays.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. You've actually, if you're going to lose three wickets, majority of games, stats tell you, you're going to chase the game and lose. So that is a real concern for me, because if you're going to win the if you lose the toss and you find yourself batting, the problem is you're under a little bit of pressure. You can't go gung-ho if you're under pressure. So you're going to have to try and be a bit smarter, a bit more sensible with the batting. In the last game, and I don't want to lay the blame with him, I think it was Brandon King,
yes,
who tried to come down the wicket and hit it out. First man to fall, and he simply skied it in the air. We, England, have proper bowlers opening the bowling. The West Indies, despite losing three wickets in the power play 2 days running, the other worry I've got is they're not always picking their best bowlers. The one good thing for me, Azhari Joseph, naughty boy, but I do hope he gets a game tomorrow. Mm. Thursday.
I see. Thursday. All right. So let's go to Philo. Philo, your assessment. You've been doing commentary to Talk Sport, making lots of money, I'm told.
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to your panel. Good evening to your heart, my friend Carlos. And heaven and Lance, who's, I think, is 40 today.
Mm.
Andrew, I thought we played two four T20 games. I know everybody say you bat first, you're going to put yourself under pressure. I think the key to T20 cricket, Andrew, it's how well you bat in the power plays.
Mm-hmm.
And as Don said, we keep losing a lot of wickets in the power plays, and then we find our middle order and our lower middle order trying to salvage something to get a score. But I think that all two opening batters, they need to understand that it's not go for leather from the first ball, that you can still assess the surface, and they have the power to clear the boundary. So it's just about assessing that surface and batting those power play overs properly. Can't expose Puran and Hetmyer, those guys who haven't been playing a lot of cricket in recent time, the England bowling attack. What I found to Andrew in the second T20 is that when the pitch is juicy, your batters seem to be like red ants biting them.
Mm-hmm.
And that surprised me. You know, we're playing in the Caribbean and the ball is bouncing and our batters are flinching.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. And I don't understand the reason why they took Chase out of the squad, out of the playing 11 to play Hetmyer. Chase is in cricket. Hetmyer was not in cricket.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to mess up our selections. Now Russell is injured, so he's out. Marge Springer is in. Marge Joseph has gone home, and Alzari Joseph is back in the squad. I think we undervalue fast bowling. Andrew, I don't like the way our fast bowlers are being managed in the One Day series and this T20 series. We undervalue pace.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky Ferguson just took a hat trick for New Zealand, defending a small total. And I think that our fast bowlers are being undervalued. I don't know if because what the coaches are asking them to do, but I think that we should allow our fast bowlers to express themselves. I think so. We're giving the English batters a lot of room.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to murder us. You know, yeah, congratulations. All the batters well. I must commend them. Batting deep and coming out of the T20 game. But our bowling unit and still needs a lot of work, and it's going to be interesting to see how they shape up on the fastest pitch in the Caribbean in St. Lucia on Thursday and then over the weekend. To win three on the bounce, Andrew, is going to call for a hell of a lot of energy.
One would imagine. You're right, Doc.
They do have it because we need to beat England.
Yep, Doc, your assessment. Right.
Yes, good night to the panel and listeners. Well, essentially, we've been outplayed, Andrew. We only have two bowlers that have bowled at under 10 and over. And that's Hussein and Ford. All of our bowlers have gone for over 10 and over.
Mm-hmm.
And the most wickets any bowler's taken is 3. So we haven't been bowling well enough to restrict England. And they've chased us down each time. But the main problem is the batting.
Mm-hmm.
We've been bowled out essentially twice, and you know we don't have any batsmen that have really put together any partnerships, so we just have little contributions all the way down, and we've been 3 down and in power play, and we've been in trouble in both matches. So essentially we haven't batted well, and unless we bat well, we won't be able to win the match. I mean, the question is, do we need to consider having more batsmen that can weather the storm and can rebuild an innings if wickets fall? We haven't really managed the you know, putting a score on the board very well. And you know, once we can't do that, we just can't win because the bowling isn't penetrative enough. So it comes down to the same thing as the One Day Internationals. We did well every time that we batted well. But I don't think our bowling in either white ball format is set up to restrict teams or to run through teams.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we need some better batting.
Indeed.
It doesn't matter if you bat first or second. We just have to bat.
I like that. All right. What we're going to do, let's pause for business, because when we come back, we're going to get a reaction from Julian Charles, who certainly was a pretty good batsman. Mason and Guest, Broughton Association, with the good friends at ASF, we were run the best show of the day. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day. Yeah, Julian Charles, your assessment of the West Indies, the defeats really in the two matches that they played. You watched it there from St. Lucia. Tell me.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Andrew, I thought the batsmen could have applied themselves more because you could see that the wicket had some juice. So there ought to have been some kind of change in the plan, well, depending clearly on how the English bowlers bowl as well. But you do not want to lose three wickets in the power play, as has been said before. So you'd have to reassess. If you lose one, reassess very quickly and don't just go for the 60 runs in the power play that you're looking for. Look to conserve the wickets. Because that's what the English did when they batted, albeit that wicket was a lot flatter than that. But that's what they did on both occasions when they, you know, when they batted second. So they need to rethink their strategy, you know, according to the conditions out there. Mm-hmm. And clearly the doc is right. The bowling has really been on the par, and I think they've been shell shocked every time they turn up. Well, the two occasions that they turn up, anytime they get hit, they tend to panic, leaving a lot of room, as was said, a lot of room to the batters. And you know, once you give room, that's it, you disappear. So they effectively were taken off the clean bowl and the LBWs off of the table, and the English batsmen love this. So they will need to see some vast improvement in the bowling. And the batting, of course, we have some world-class players. I mean, I'm very pleased to see the way the West Indies batting has come on in the last couple of years or so. So I'm not afraid for the batting. But apart from reassessing the situation, I think for the batters, the bowlers really need to step up on it.
Yes. Now, in terms of, just before we come back to you, Don, let's go to Claudius. Claudius, what kind of pitch do you expect there in St. Lucia? In fact, it is said you've got the best pitch now in St. Lucia. And when you look at the construct of the West Indies squad, are there any surprises? I'll give that squad again. Rodwan Powell, Roston Chase, Matthew Ford, Shamar Akmar, Terence Hines, Shea Hope, Akil Hossain, Alzari Joseph, Brandon King, Evan Lewis, Gudisus Moti, Nicholas Poran, Shafin Rutherford, Romero Shepherd, and Shamar Springer. Talk to me, Claudius.
Yes, Andrew. Well, no real surprises because we have had the two changes with Russell being replaced by Shamar Springer, and then, of course, Joseph coming back for his namesake. So yeah. Those are understandable. The wicket in St. Lucia, as we have said, it's one that is conducive to pace and bounce. And so you'd expect the bowlers to have a greater amount of comfort coming to St. Lucia. Bowlers certainly would be lining up to play on that surface. Looking at it today, it looks its usual self. And so we expect that there will be assistance there for the bowlers. Good carry as usual. The batters would obviously benefit as well because the ball would be coming through and they'll get value for their stroke. So all in all, I think it's a question of who's going to do the basics better than the other, who's going to come out on top. So, but the stage is certainly well set for an interesting game, and West Indies, of course, they've got their work cut out for them because the England team has the momentum coming out of those two good performances.
Don't let me come back to you. We focused a lot on the West Indies. What about England? Are you happy? Any concerns?
No, I really genuinely, I'm not going to say surprised, but it was pleasing to see Butler. Mm-hmm. Butler got naught, a first baller, in his comeback game. He was maybe a bit unlucky. He found the fielder at third man. But the next day, he scored brilliantly for his 83. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. Phil Salt one day scored a very emotional 100. But the next day, he got out first ball, mm-hmm. first ball of England's innings. So you can be hero and zeros within 2 days. But I thought England played well. Bethel played well. The bowling was good. I thought Saqib Mahmood has not, I'm not going to say being the pick of the bowlers, but he has bowled very well. And he is the man that's picking up wickets quite now, which is great to see. I think that the good thing that England are trying to do is play in tandem, not just batting partnerships, but bowling partnerships. And one other small area pleasing for me is the additions of Bethel, maybe Overton. Let me tell you, their fielding has improved with those two additions. And I know, and I don't like to harp on it, a couple of times the West Indies fielding has left me underwhelmed. Mm. But I like, in terms of England, I think England's new players have made them look sharper in the field.
I agree with that. And, you know, I'm big on fitness, and I'm very disappointed with Shefrin Rutherford. I don't know if you've seen him recently. These guys are just putting on weight. And it's the kind of indiscipline that I am not going to tolerate. You've got someone like a Shepherd, Russell, feeling that mid-off and long-off. You got Russell opening your bowling. It is almost as if you're trying to think. In Barbadian parlance, you say you're trying to think. What is that all about? And the question has to be asked now, should we continue with Andrew Russell? My view is that we need to go past Russell. I know that the coach is very big on Russell, but I really think the time has come where we got to look and plan going forward for the next World Cup, and introduce some of our younger cricketers. Yes, Russell is going to possibly give you some runs. In the field, he's not that good. And as a bowler, he's just thereabouts. And I really feel that we need to move on. The selection of Terence Hines is interesting. He looked very ordinary to me, I must admit. And we are going to St. Lucia on the fastest pitch, and there's no aggression. You know, aggression has gone out of cricket. Look at the spell that Jofra Archer bowled to the West Indies. It was almost as if we were playing in a test match. Two slips, there was a gully, there was even a forward short leg. And you know what our opening batsman did? They played from square leg. And Phil, you're correct. Our, it seems as if we don't like fast bowling. In the Halcyon days of West Indies cricket, we used to hook and pull. Nowadays, our modern-day batsmen are very timid, and sometimes they get hit. So I'm very concerned about the lack of aggression in our bowling. I'm very concerned about the construct of the side. In the very first T20 fellow, we played five bowlers, and we left out Roston Chase on the side.
Yes, you play five bowlers with Andrea Russell being one.
And opening the bowling.
Who's played no cricket since CPL.
Does that make sense?
And open the bowling.
Oh, come on.
No, you took Chase out of cricket to put him to sit down. and you see, that is the thing, and I'm gonna keep hampering on it. There's no selection panel. One man is making the decisions, one man is doing everything, and there's no accountability. And that burns me as a former West Indies cricketer. We have no accountability in our cricket at the moment. Nobody knows what is going on, and everybody just doing what they feel like. And I got a question for Don. What is the position with your son, Reese?
You should know, at least. You should know, Don. Right.
I haven't spoken to him because they flew to St. Lucia. They flew this morning, yesterday morning, very early. But I believe he was going down to Beausejour to have a fitness, not test, but just to see how his knee is coming on. Now, thank you for asking. They did play in the rain the other day, and we do want the game to keep going to try and conclude the game. But we also have to be aware that it was a wet conditions, and your soil is quite cloggy when it gets damp, and it stuck to his shoes, and it's a bit more sticky than our soil at home, and he got clogged up and he slipped, and he jarred his knee, and his knee hyperextended, And it's a worry that should we have carried on in that rain at that particular time? And we've seen a lot of the bowlers pull soil and grass perpetually away from their boots. But Philo, I'm hoping he's going to play before he flies home. But I don't expect him to be playing Thursday. Mm-hmm. But I haven't spoken to him. Mm. But thank you, Philo, for your concern.
And he was penalised as well, Don. What happened there?
Sorry, say that again, last bit.
You didn't hear me.
No, I didn't. Please say that again.
Was he not penalised?
Oh, sorry, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Listen,
well, you must tell the people that too, you know, Don.
We were on commentary at the time, and he's gone off and he's injured. When they eventually came back on 35 minutes later, he tried to bowl, and he was in pain and awkward. And we call it in the bowling trade, he bowled a powder puff delivery, which got hit back over his head for six.
Right.
And clearly he was struggling. So, unfortunately, when he went off, having bowled that one ball, he picked up the chair and he broke. He's been subsequently fined 15% of his playing fee, and unfortunately, he's had a demerit point. I am not going to defend him for that. And he needs to show passion. Philo will know this. Every bowler needs to show passion, but you can't do that. But if I could blame, he has the temper of his mother. He's not nice, relaxed like dad, on an even keel, very comfortable. He's a passionate Englishman, and he has a terrible temper, which you do want to see in a fast bowler.
Absolutely.
Well done. No, Dr. Ford, I want to come to you now about Al-Zahri Joseph, what happened, and the punishment of being banned for two matches. Your assessment, do you think it was he got away, or you think it should have been harsher, Doctor?
Well, I think his actions were embarrassing and disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
He virtually abandoned the team. He didn't show the control that a vice captain would show. But I'm sure the management and the board, they must know Al-Zahri better than we do and must know what his issues are and what he needs to be all that he can be.
Doc, you're stuck. Are you home, Doc? Because we don't normally get this problem from you, Doc. We stuck there.
The issue is really trying to see how to rehabilitate and how to get the best out of him as a player, and knowing if he is someone that we need or we can rehab for the future. You know, we know that Ben Stokes has had his runnings, Ricky Ponting. There's so many players that have done contravene what we think would be good behavior, but have turned out to be useful players. I think it's more about the way back rather than how hard can we hit Al-Zahri. But certainly we can't condone what he did. But what I understand that there was a statement, but I haven't really been, you know, patrolling all the social media and all the press releases and all that. But I would think a contrite and, you know, sincere apology and trying to let people understand if this is just an overflowing of, you know, passion for the game or if it's something else. Because we really need to understand what's happening, and we need to sincerely feel that he, you know, has some remorse about what's happened. And I haven't been following closely enough to know if that's happened, but I believe that that's something that really needs to be done.
Philo, the action and... First of all, by Al-Zahri and the actions of those in charge in relation to giving him a two-match ban. What's your assessment of that, Philo?
Andrew was surprised at the way he conducted himself on the field. Being a senior bowler and the leader of the bowling unit, obviously he and Captain Hope, they weren't seeing eye to eye in relation to field placing. But I had a discussion yesterday with a former West Indies fast bowler, and that has been happening since the Halcyon days.
Ooh.
Your bowling and the captain sometimes don't give you the feel that you want, mm-hmm. but you have to bowl to the feel that the captain said.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, the captain is the man who is in charge on the field. You can bowl your overs. I mean, you go off, you can say, look, Skip, I didn't agree with that, but maybe next time we can do it. But Ansari, obviously, hot-headed, temper flow, his temper just rushed to his head, his temperature went up. And he just bowled the ball, got the wicket, and walked a storm off the field without even saying, look, I'm going to use the toilet, I'm going to change my boots, do something. He just stormed off the field. And I thought it was unprofessional, Andrew. Very unprofessional. And it's embarrassing for West Indies cricket. And the players have to understand that they're representing West Indies. It's not gully cricket. It is West Indies cricket. Although you don't like how things are going, you have to stick with it. The captain is in charge. So a lot of people would have tried to help him, but he was setting his ways and he was steaming. Well, cricket West Indies came out and said that they're going to punish him by giving him a two-match suspension.
Mm.
I mean, he's had a two-match suspension. He's going to St. Lucia. He's in St. Lucia already to prepare for the third and the fourth and fifth T20s. I thought that they would have really dipped into his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they do things anymore at CWI. It seems like the coach, the director of cricket, they're the ones who make all the cricketing decisions at the West Indies. So he's been given his punishment. And I hope that after this series, but there's a series against Bangladesh right around the corner and it starts in Antigua. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much professional help we will hear that he's going to get. But I hope that somebody in Antigua would take him under their wing and try to help this young man, because I think he's an asset for West Indies cricket.
Mm-hmm.
I just think Ansari Joseph is being managed badly.
Ooh.
I think there's a good bowler in Ansari Joseph for proper management.
Mm.
And I'm going to continue to say he has good intentions to bowl well for West Indies, but I think he's managed badly and he lashes out at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that needs to be corrected. We have all this backroom staff. We have 10 people in the backroom staff. We have a former leg spinner who played for West Indies. He can't speak to him. He can't get into him and try to massage the whole situation. I don't know what all this backroom staff is about at West Indies cricket. But the guy has been this. I've been so angry for so long. It is not good, Andrew. And I do hope that he can see his mistake. He's been to the mistake. I hope he can go forward and bring his cricket back to where we want it to be. I believe that Ansari Joseph as good in him for West Indies cricket. And I would like to see him and Shamar Joseph being the spearhead bowlers in our bowling attack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, send Shamar Joseph away and bring back Ansari Joseph so we don't have one good fast bowler again.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the quickest pitch in the region.
Yeah, and have Terrence Sainz bowling be the impatient shepherd, and also who else is coming to the side now? Shamar Springer.
Terrence Hines?
Yeah. He's
I know Gregory Hines. He was a singer.
You're right. I mean, it looked very ordinary, I must admit.
We picked Terrence Hines to bowl wide of the Austin. We picked Terrence Hines to bowl wide of the Austin for Lev Yorkers.
Mm.
We had a man in Odin Smith, too. Now we picked Terrence Hines, you know.
Yeah.
All cricket needs evaluating.
Mm-hmm.
All selection policies and processes are wrong. And I know CWI listen to this program, members of CWI, selection processes are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That committee that Enoch Lewis chairs, that Leon Johnson sits on, and Ian Bradshaw and Roger Harp and those guys, they need reshuffling.
Ooh,
you cannot be passing these kind of these things up the road. Yeah, get rid of them. And put people that understand what cricket is all about, Andrew. We are struggling.
Mm.
We are playing our strongest format and still being beaten. We're struggling. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have a wet outfield. Pitch difficult. We're at home. You know, we're in Sri Lanka and the people prepare pitches and beat us. We come home, prepare the pitches at Bristol, we still get beat. We can go to St. Lucia, what's going to happen?
Mm.
We need to get serious with our cricket, Andrew. Too much friends in this cricket. Too much friends.
Mm.
And it's hurt in the cricket.
Indeed. All right. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to pause our business. When we come back, we're going to get a reaction from Julian and from Claudius. But I'm getting a WhatsApp from Trinidad that says, good night, Andrew. Ansari Joseph should have been banned for a minimum of 6 months. Ooh, that's a interesting one. And a fine as well. Interesting. Coming from our friend there in Trinidad and Tobago. You can continue to send us your WhatsApp message at 253 253- 4679. Of course, if you're outside of Barbados, 1-246-253-4679. We're going to open the lines pretty soon. It's now 6:51, but let's go to our commercial. Mason and guests, Broadden Association, with the good friends at ASAP, right from the best show of the day. All right, Julian Charles, you have been a director of Cricket West Indies for a long time under the Dave Cameron administration. I know you're not a shallow man. I know that. Is that right, though? You're a shallow man. I understand you're not. Is that true, Julian? I just kicks in. We first of all, we have to hear you. You have to turn on.
Sorry?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. Well, I'd remind you that I was chairman of the cricket committee when we won the World Cup.
Yes, yes, of course.
The last World Cup.
I know that, yes. And right. Dave Cameron was the president, wasn't he?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Is that caused an effect?
Sorry? What was that? I didn't hear you, though, but that's
I was asking you if the statement you made is directly related to the result.
Oh yes.
well done. Yes.
Yeah, but as I said earlier, I believe that we have a good batting lineup. There's not, in fact, I'll go third and say that we have a batting lineup with the potential to do some of the things that some of our great players of the past did. I really do believe that, but they really need to keep themselves fit. When you look at Hetmyer and Rutherford and Hope and Poran, I mean, these are all world-class players. Yeah. And if they could play the longer version, that would be a serious help. I remember one of the last things we did in the administration I was in is that we agreed that players would be given an opportunity to play across all formats. So out of the 10 games, for example, if we want like somebody like Poran or Rutherford to play test cricket, you'd say, listen, you have a minimum of three out of 10 or four out of 10, because we know the way the world is now, the tournaments all over the world. But give us three or four games out of 10 first-class matches, and that could qualify you to play test cricket. All you have to do is arrange with the coach the timing of these matches so that it will fall in line with just around the same time as test cricket. So, we need to be able to pull all these players into the test format, because then we'll be able to make a world-class side. But there's concern around the bowling. Yes, fast bowlers must have passion, but of course we know that respect and discipline really are the cornerstone of civility, if you like. But it is his first offense. He's played well for the West Indies over the years. He has shown good commitment, good passion for West Indies cricket. And I believe a two-match ban is
reasonable. I think it's reasonable.
I think it's reasonable. Mm-hmm. And himself will have to carry that possibly for the rest of his career. So we have to realize that this is also a punishment that he's brought on himself. But in terms of, more more than this, I wouldn't say that at all, because we all slip and slide at times.
So it's fair.
Julian, I think your thesis is a bit flawed, because you're talking about players who are presently in the white ball format playing another format, and maybe by playing that format getting better and therefore improving our fortunes. But the ironic thing is that the players that you're mentioning are now playing white ball cricket all over the world, getting to rub shoulders with the best white ball cricketers all over the world, the best and varied coaches on the various conditions, and they play more cricket with those, let's say, better or more equipped and, you know, people with better infrastructure, everything is better, but they come back to us when, you know, when it suits them. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to performances, they do not perform any better than some teams where people don't even do that much world touring. So the problem is with the problem isn't so much about exposure and repetition. It's the raw materials. The raw materials are so inert, they are unable to evolve. So taken to its final conclusion, I mean, our last two World Cup campaigns in both 20 and 50 overs proves the point that having these guys together, and we've tried to stay with the experienced players beyond the newer ones, and we haven't done well. So we can take that to infinity and say that even if these guys got 20 or 30 more percent exposure, they still together collectively wouldn't do better. So there's an issue with the individuals, you know, as it is, not their exposure. Because everyone else is doing less of what they're doing, and they're doing it better.
Mm-hmm. Julian, want to respond to that? Doc is saying that your assessment is flawed.
Well, I did hear that.
So then respond respond.
Yes. I believe, though, that you need, you know, players to become a world-class player. You need to play a lot. You know, need to spend more time at the wicket. The more time you spend at the wicket, the more you develop your game, the better players that you play against for over a long period of time means that you get better. So if these same white ball players were given a chance, or not given a chance because they're given given a chance, mm-hmm. but if they would play some four-day cricket or even test matches at the high level, they would become even better white ball players. They're not going to just walk. I mean, obviously, if you're going to accommodate them that way, you would have to say, well, after a certain number of test matches, you've got to make X number of runs or take X number of wickets. And that would be the basis on which you can stay, because you have to perform to stay there. But the reality is that they'll be played more against better player, against better opposition for a longer period of time. And they'll also create more competition for spaces in the West Indies. And I think once that is so, everybody, you know, the standard will generally move up, and we would also see a better product for West Indies cricket.
All right, it's heading to 7 o'clock in the country. We're going to take your calls soon, but you know, Jacob Bethel, of course, when his parents were on 2 weeks ago, there was a lot of talk about Franklin Stevenson, who, of course, Bethel went to his academy. So I found Franklin Stevenson. I thought it was important to bring him on the show. I know he's a very busy man making lots of money. Good evening to you, Franklin, 7 o'clock in the country. How are you, Frankie?
Good evening, Andrew. I'm well, thank you. Good evening to you and your panel and your listeners.
Good. You must be pleased as punch with the performance of Jacob Bethel.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Young man blesses our heart.
Mm-hmm. When did you first meet Jacob?
That young man, Andrew, is an amazing young man still. Mm. I first saw Jacob Bethel playing the best of the best, I think they call it, primary school match. Really, he picked four teams. And I saw a young man that had everything, and he was 10 years old, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, so and he's the one player that I've ever really reached out to, in a sense. And I went on the behest of his uncle. I went and saw his mum, and she was delighted to bring him. And then, oh my, he just fell in love with the academy. So he's averaged over 4 years of cricket with the academy. He's averaged between 85 and 88 in every competition. Mm. And that's along with taking the first spell of the fast bowlers and a wicket keeping, and then coming out and bowling a straight spell. If it's 45 overs, they bowl nine. And then go back and keep, you know. And he was my most economical bowler. He was pretty much the best fielder. Mm. That young man was earmarked for the top. And, you know, I said that at a very, very young age. There was cast aside in Barbados. So even they're telling me, oh, just now his parents are going to tell him stop the nonsense to come and look after the family business. You know, I said, no, man, this young man is cricket for son. He's fighting. He loves this game, and I think his parents will support him. And I think he's absolutely, he's done fantastic. He's really doing well. And I'm going to watch that space because I know that he's gonna go from strength to strength.
Mm. Take us through his innings, Franklin. Kensington Oval, watched by his parents. I note with interest that several of white folks in Barbados came to watch him. It reminded me when he first played at the under 13 level. I remember going down to the KMV Oval, and well, his late grandfather was very much at the time, you know, all of them came down to watch him play. Take us through that innings that he made on the weekend, that beautiful half century. Frankie?
Yeah, you could have hardly told that he was actually chasing a solid total in the sense. There was no brash shot, you know, it was clinical execution, you know, watch ball, bat ball, and bat the circumstances. And that's what the West Indies players need to learn to do.
Right.
You know, he played a ball on merit. If he was back, so he picked his ones and his twos and waited for the bad ball. He had the power to clear the outfield on the offside as well. Obviously, he's a very good puller, so he's a pretty much an all-round player. I think that England has done really well to replace Moin Khan.
Mm.
And I think he's going to be a plus to that. You know, he's a fantastic player. And he never really looked rushed. He just batted what was there, you know.
Yes, certainly very, very good indeed. Did you get a chance to speak to him? Frankie, have you spoken to him since he's been here, or you haven't had a chance to speak to him?
Yes, he actually spent a week and a half with me at the academy.
And wonderful.
My smile was just from ear to ear all day. He could remember all the delicacies or whatever. He could remember every match, you know, and oh, the kids loved him. They got all the autographs, and he really appreciated, you know, being back. And I think that really helped him to settle to play the series. He spent a week and a half before he went off to Antigua. And, you know, he's ready for the world.
Indeed. So just before you go, Frankie, what's the relationship between you and the Barbados Cricket Association, your academy? Is it very good? Do you get money from the BCA to help you out, or not really?
I can't say that I've asked, but no, I don't get any funding from the BCA. And we just tally and roll, Andrew. You know, like I said, Jacob was the only player that I really reached out to.
Mm-hmm.
And our banks are swelling pretty much weekly where, you know, patrons, they recommend it, and, you know, and that's the best way. So it's just a thing. I mean, I'm hopeful, you know, I reach out and do things. This is my third academy that I actually physically built, and I'm really happy to see these youngsters coming through. Over the last weekend, we had two kids getting beaver tricks. You know, at 9 and 11 years old, you're getting a beaver trick. That shows that kid is bowling straight. Because
yes.
I had to educate one English commentator what a beaver trick was. You know,
indeed.
I played with them four balls, you know, and then on top of that, they top scoring for the teams as well, you know. And so I think I'm going to give a prize to the team because they're both sinners, you know. One lad today got 97 not out, and he's 9 years old as well, you know. So these kids just bless our heart, Andrew, and that's always a plus. I think that we can do really, really well if we able to link programs and do more for the kids. But in the meantime, we will keep producing. And hopefully, you know, they get recognized, whether it's in this country or another country.
Mm. Where did the West Indies go wrong at Kensington Oval, Frankie? Can you tell me?
Andrew, there's something called a power play.
Right.
And the power play restricts the field to have seven fielders within a 30-yard circle.
Mm.
You got batsmen that open the batting and sit four kicks over. They want to play the boundary. They want to hit the biggest sixes. No, you've got to be educated and actual enough to play calculated shots. You don't have to hit the ball for six. You've got to clear the infield. You know, you can clear the infield with an extended push in the sense, just making sure that you're safe on the delivery rather than charging on the wicket and striking at the ball. As a, you know, and you manipulate the ball as well. If he's got everybody in front of the bat, the spinners need more reverse sweeps and paddle sweeps.
Mm.
And by the way, I think they were certain that they played the first reverse sweep that they saw in county cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I explained to the guys that they played it for a reason, because the spinners were tying me down and I didn't want to go down the pitch, so if I can actually sweep and paddle the ball, any length at all at the ball on a good length, I stand a 90-95% chance of batting that ball out front of me. Mm-hmm. But then when they pitch the ball, that's what I'm waiting for. So I reverse my shot and I hit straight. And that's what the guys need to do. You calculate your shot. You manipulate the ball, but you don't just go and charge down the wicket and drop the ball and swinging or spinning and give you knock-up. You know, you don't go hitting sixes either. You know, you push the ball over the infield. You know, make the ball a change, the standing ball fuller, you know, anything like that. You know, so we've got to get artful. And we need some nailed-on bowlers too. My strong one-day side all had bowlers who knew that they were out with the ball a quarter.
Right.
You in the field, you're not sure if you're going to bowl or you're hoping that, you know, then you're never ready or you're always too anxious. You know, you know that you're going to bowl a quarter because you're nailed on, whether you bowl two at the front and two at the back or four in the middle. But plan that you're going to bowl four overs and execute. You know, that's what you need to do. Don't you? You've got a long batting lineup so you can take on the bowling and give as many chances as possible. All those things that run with the rest of the country.
Indeed. Final question, Frank, as it heads to 7 minutes past zero of 7 o'clock. Shamar Joseph, we saw him, of course, play for the West Indies in red ball cricket. We always remember that test match. But he struggled in white ball cricket. And now he's lost his place. He bowled at Kensington Oval and was expensive. What do you think is the problem with Shamar in terms of white ball bowling? If there's a problem.
I love his attitude on the field. I love his expressions and the way he pushes the game. But he's got a lot to learn. I mean, Jofra Archer bowls quicker than Shamar Joseph. Right. Shamar and Joseph. But he's got, I think he's got about five different slow balls.
Yep.
So he knows that the changeup is what's going to really fast back. You know, unless you get it right into the block hole every time, then you need changeups that deceive the batsman to cut that one way down. Otherwise, any ball can go. And Shamar, he's got a lot to learn about white ball cricket. I think he did really, really well. And obviously in tests and so on. And he's very good for that for the time being. But I think he needs to be given a little bit of a break and let him develop some little, you know, tricks with his game and so on in the meantime. But give the other youngsters a go. We'll be backing a little bit more, I think, because, you know, he's not quite ready. He doesn't have to change just right now to a bottom top class batsman in white ball cricket.
Somebody just sent a note, Frankie, to want to ask you, do you think that Shea Hope should have played in Barbados?
Yes, I was surprised that Shea didn't play.
Well, Chase,
you know, he's been batting really well, and he's the player that can bat at the top or down the order. And down the order, he can come and show up the innings and still hit sixes, you know. Give you a strength to your ball in the field. Shea Hope, definitely you need somebody like Shea Hope at the top. Brandon King, you know, does quite well, but the consistency isn't quite there. You can see a little bit of rashness at the top, you know, proper technique. So you look for a Shea Hope to be top in your white order, white ball cricket for the time being. You know, you got a lot of hitters, but he can hit too. But I think he gives you a little bit more sensitivity at the top of the order, you know.
Indeed. Well, Frankie, thanks for coming through and talking to us. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you, Andrew, and connect to the rest of your panel.
All right. The lines are open now, 441790. You can give us a call and participate in the program. That number, 441790. And already we've got a call. Ken is in. No. Hello, Ken. Say hello to Philo.
A very good evening to everybody.
Say hello to Philo.
Philo, man, how are you doing, man?
I'm very well, Ken. Nice to hear you.
I am doing well. Dr. Leroy Ford. How are you
doing? Leroy.
Leroy. Listen, I did not say Leroy. I did not say Leroy. I said Leroy.
Well said. All right, let's take a couple of calls. Hello, welcome.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night to you. How are you?
I am very good, Mr. Mason.
Talk to me.
I've got two questions to put you tonight.
Sure.
You think if Joseph is playing with some riches, he could have done what he's doing to come up, is he? I would have sorry for he.
Well, you know, I was talking to a former West Indies fast, when he said he would have played with, if he was the captain, he'd play with 10 men.
But if riches was, if the captain, Vim would have played with 10 because he can't go back on.
Mm.
And another question, you were a cricket star, because I did you come at the end. You realize we had two captains?
Two captains?
Well, why is it for Anderson? Is he more the Powell?
Oh, or Powell. Okay.
I think Powell won't fight if he play.
Mm. Well, we know I don't want to talk about captains because, you know, Dr. Ford went after me when I spoke about captains, so I'm going to keep my mouth very quiet tonight.
But I don't want to keep your mouth quiet because I think they get rid of just a whole lot. And I don't think just a whole lot is doing as bad as Powell. Powell won't stop.
But what I will tell you is I know with interest that Chase was bowling to right-handers and West Indies didn't have a lot of runs in the tank and there was no mid-wicket.
Well, as usual.
Mm. They had a backward square and there was a man on the long-on boundary and there was also a man at the mid-wicket boundary. So all the batsmen had to do was to turn the ball by the umpire and run to.
And get a single.
Off spinner, bowling to right-handers, 157 runs. And I'll also say to you, sir, that when Bethel came to the crease, there was no change in the field.
But you see where Powell is feeling?
Yeah, well.
Don't up on you. Don't on the other booth.
So you didn't go to the games at all this weekend?
I went down there. Sorry, I tell you what, down there I was watching.
Oh, okay, fine.
And then, I went back, sir.
Yep. Oh, okay.
For the reason that I don't understand why Ford, Chase, nor Hawk and Star.
Okay, I see. Thanks to
you. You got a man that only win a tournament.
Yes.
Can I get a play?
No, not at all. I know Don has got his hand up. Let's take a quick call before we come to you, Don. Claudia said we got to get a comment from you shortly. It's heading to 7:30. Now, hello, welcome, Mason and guests. Hello.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Oh, is that Anton?
Yes, sir.
How are you? You've been missing in action. Have you gone back to Jamaica?
No, sir.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me.
First of all, I want to say good night to your panel.
Yes. Continue.
To begin with, I'm very, very disappointed with Azari Joseph for the way he handled that situation in Antigua when he didn't like how the captain was bowling. Even if he didn't like the field, Mr. Mason, he still got a wicket. He could have gone after and said to Shea Hope, "Skipper, I didn't like how you set the field."
Mm-hmm.
After he didn't have to get on like that, Mr. Mason. Mm-hmm. That's totally unacceptable.
Unacceptable, but
youngsters like me who want to become fast bowlers or young cricketers, mm-hmm, who watch them and do the exact same thing. You don't want that, Mr. Mason.
I agree with you.
And especially as a senior bowler.
Yes. I agree with you, Anton. You're spot on. In fact, the coach said it was unacceptable. Darren Sammy said it was unacceptable. It didn't look good at all. It wasn't good at all.
Yes, Lee. And now to my second point.
Sure.
Mr. Mason, I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Why? Why would they drop a young fast bowler called Shamar Joseph and play Terrence Hines?
Well, that's an interesting one. You know, I've said for a long time that we devalue bowling. You're going to St. Lucia's, Fellow said, and a pitch that will have some pace in it. And, you know, I mean, you just get the feeling that we just like to play these bits and pieces cricketers. So you're going to have Terence Hines come into the side. So I agree with you that I certainly would not have dropped Shamar Joseph. I think one of the things that has to happen with Shamar is that he's got to be told, look, I want you on the side to try to get wickets. Huh? I want you to be aggressive. Shamar bowls a lot of slow deliveries, but he's sharp. And we saw an exhibition of fast bowling from Joffa Archer with two slips, a gully and a forward short leg, bowling as if he was bowling a test match. But don't let me take up your time. Continue to talk, Anton.
Yes, Mr. Mason, and especially Mr. Mason. You can't depend on your two or three spinners in a fast bowling paradise, sir.
No.
And especially, I know they want to give Hines a little pick, but sir, even though in the first match, Shamar Joseph went for 31 off for his two overs,
right,
he still could have given a try for the next match, because Ross Butler, England skipper, made a not.
Right.
First match, but he still came back the next match.
And played?
Played.
And made 83 too. And made 83 too. Mm. Beautiful. Now, just before you go, how are you doing at school?
I'm doing very well, sir.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite subject, Anton?
Mathematics, sir.
Mm. All right. You want to be what? I mean, you want to be a first-class cricketer, a professional cricketer, or you just want to do other things? You want to be what? Tell me. An economist? What do you want to be?
A professional cricketer, sir.
You want to be a professional cricketer? So what, are you a batsman or you're a bowler?
I'm mainly a batsman, but I want to work my way to being a fast bowler.
Okay, so are you playing cricket at school?
Yes, sir. I've been going to cricket practice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, who's your coach there? What's his name?
Coach Corey Edwards and Coach Yard.
Yes, Corey Edwards is very much your coach there. Right. Have you ever met Dr. Ford? Leroy Ford. Have you ever met him?
No, sir. I'm not.
All right. Well, but I'm going to arrange a meeting so that you can meet Leroy Ford and not Leroy Ford. Well, it's an absolute pleasure talking to you. Always a pleasure. So what do you expect now as we look forward to the three matches in St. Lucia? What do you expect?
All West Indies have to do, sir, is play their best game.
Right.
Put forward, try and get a good score, and try and defend it, sir.
Right, and defend it, sir. Do you like the team that was selected?
Not really, sir, with the change of Shamar Joseph. That got me a little iffy about this side, but hopefully they will do good.
All right, so you would have kept Shamar Joseph, and you would not have paid Terence Hines. Is that what you're telling me, Anton?
Yes, sir, because I would like that extra bowler with that express pace. Because I remember in the test match that we played against South Africa.
Yes.
When Shamar Joseph was bowling to Aidan Markram in one of the innings.
Yes.
He bowled delivery that Markram left, and it came right back into him and bowled.
Yes.
Something like that from Shamar if he was playing, but hopefully Azhari will fill in that spot.
Yes, well, Azhari will, yeah, but the thing about this, though, before you go, is that when Azhari bowls his aggression, then he's got people like Shamar Springer, Matthew Ford, and Terence Hines to support him. So you would want to see a little bit more pace, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right. So did you go to Kensington on the weekend, Anton?
No, sir.
But if you called me or Dr. Ford, we'd have taken you, and Dr. Ford would have taken you in the president's box, because every time Dr. Shallow comes here, Dr. Ford is always invited into his box. We would have taken you there.
Oh, sir.
So you stay close to me. The next time there's cricket at Kensington Oval, we will certainly make sure that you go.
Yes, sir. Thank you very, very much, and have a good evening.
Have a good evening. Always a pleasure to talk to you. 719, let's take another call. Yes.
Andrew, in the Bible, they tell us that when Jesus was 12 years old, around his age,
yes,
he went into the tabernacle, and when he spoke, all the dignitaries,
yes,
like Dr. Leroy Ford and fellow, yeah, were astonished and said not a word. Yeah. Is this the case here?
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. I mean, he was actually, he spoke to us some time ago, and it's in their pleasure. I first picked him up when he was talking to Larry Mears.
Yes, I called
Larry. And I got the number, and he was very much on Mason. I guess you remember the interaction with the Prime Minister?
Oh yes, I remember.
And the Prime Minister invited him to cricket as well during the World Cup.
Oh, yes.
Wonderful.
Yes,
yes. All right, let's take a couple of calls.
Why not?
Let's take a couple of calls. It's heading to 7:20 in the country. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guess.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
Yes, Andrew, I think we're losing the game in the selection room.
Okay, selection room. Okay.
When I look at the team.
Yes.
Right? We went in with 5 bowlers.
Right.
In one match.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot play Brandon King, mm-hmm, a batter only.
Right.
Elvin Lewis, a mm-hmm batter only.
Right.
Shimron Hakmer, a batter only.
Right.
Rob Powell, who's now a batter only.
Right.
Shafin Rutherford, who's batting or rounder at best.
Mm.
You want to call him a rounder. Mm. So batting or rounders and bowling or rounders have their make their mark in T20 cricket.
Mm.
And when the IPL is picking their players, they look for certain types of players.
Right.
And I cannot understand
mm-hmm
why a player like Kyle Mears can't even make the 15.
Yeah, I agree with that. So something has gone wrong there, Corleus. I mean,
I'm not a cricket expert. Mm-hmm. So how can cricket experts sit down and oversee this? It's really baffling. That is where we're losing Shea Hope, and because when you don't have the batting all rounders and the bowling rounders,
right,
you have the room for Shea Hope. Shea Hope should be in the team.
I agree.
Ralston Chase must play in the team. The selection is where we lost. And one last thing before I go.
Sure.
Don't say the bowlers aren't good. The bowlers can only defend what they're given.
Mm.
And sure, if the batters put up 220, you will see a different bowling attack.
Mm-hmm.
If you're only defending 158,
yes, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult. Caller, just before you go, did you go to Kensington for the end of the matches?
No, I didn't go, but I watched them on TV, ball for ball.
Okay, well, thanks very much for your contribution. 4341-790, give us a call and participate in the program. Claudius, the construct of the side, you like it, Claudius?
Yeah, Andrew, I take the point about the absence of Sharma. I mean, Philo has made the point of the devaluing of pace bowling. So I agree with that. It would have been good to have seen both Josephs on the Darren Sammy cricket ground pitch. So I think we've lost the plot there. So we could have really put ourselves in a position to really benefit from the conditions that we are familiar with at Beausejour, which is in support of the bowler. So it's a little baffling that you are coming to a ground where you've got a known strength, yet you're not capitalizing on it. So the decision making there is a little off. Mm-hmm. A quick comment on Azari Joseph, though, Andrew.
Sure.
We have made the point about how he has managed himself on the field, but I wish to point out that this is actually something that has been in the makings for a while. And so I remember an incident during the CPL that Joseph was actually getting at the umpire for making certain decisions that didn't go his way. So clearly a young man with a lot of talent, but one who needs to be managed. The board really needs to do a much better job in terms of assisting Joseph in getting over this particular problem in his development, because it is certainly working against getting out of him the sort of talent and ability that he obviously possesses.
Do you think it was a slap on the wrist, Claudius?
Yeah, Andrew, I was a little surprised that it was only two matches, but I think Dr. Ford has hit the nail on its head, indicating that it's not maybe so much the level of the punishment, but the fact that we need to recognize that this is a young man with a problem, and one that therefore needs to be rehabilitated.
Interesting. Okay, let's try and take some calls. We can. 4341790. Hello, welcome, Mason and guest. 724 in the country. Hello, welcome.
Hello.
Yeah, Andrew, how are you?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
I feel Joseph's punishment was too easy.
You think it was too easy?
It was too easy, yeah. You remember Benjamin and Richards and Gabriel and Richards. Joseph needs to apologize to the board. Let them know what went on, because he even disrespects Shea Hope as captain. And if as a captain, now you disrespect me, I don't feel I will captain you again. I might play in the same match as you, but I will not captain you again, because he will do it again. And I got you tonight. You think you see the Andrea Russell?
Well, now according to Sammy. Sammy loves him.
Oh, Sammy?
Yes.
If Russell can't go, Sammy will go on the heat, then. Mm-hmm. I'm very glad that you said so. But we got to say, no, you bring in Terrence at 32 years old. Right? You bring Terrence at 32.
Yes.
And the rest of these players got to tell you to bring back old players.
Yes.
And you bring back the same to you now. You could remember, they said Bravo is too old at 34. You bring Hines at 32. they drop Annie Roberts at 32 and Brim Woodley at 35.
Yes.
Right? But I want to put this, you know, I want Wallace to hear it too. I would like to know when Wallace and Lambert were born for the West Indies against England. How old was Lambert? That's my last question. I would like to hear it on hear it from you all tonight. Thank you very much.
Philo, you remember how old your partner was at the time? That's the question the caller's asking.
I just think it was in his late 30s, you know.
Okay, late 30s.
In his late 30s.
Mm. No, I'm getting some reaction. I'm getting some reaction here from Trinidad. No, this one is from Antigua. Hello, listen to your show. On the last Australia tour, Justin Graves was selected and gave a fairly good account of himself. He's been subsequently pushed aside. Is there any reason for this decision? That's one for you, Philo. Justin Graves.
Well, I just let that person know that at the end of the day, Andrew, there's a selection process, and we have these scouts that are supposed to be looking. Justin has just had a fantastic Super 50, scoring three back to back hundreds. And I hope the scouts, whoever they are in Trinidad, would have been watching him and made the recommendations to the head coach, well, the head coaches, I should say. That is Darren Sammy, who is white ball, and Andre Coley, who is red ball. And we have to remember, too, that there's a test series that is soon going to start against Bangladesh, and there's also going to be a first-class game in Antigua Coolidge as well. So maybe Justin Graves, you never know, might get a look into those games, or even if he test squad and into that four-day game, and he can really continue to show his class. But the person is right. I think that they can't ignore him now. Say that Jason Holder as well is injured, and he was the one who went to Australia to replace Jason. And he did reasonably well in Australia. I hope that he does get another opportunity to play for West Indies.
Mm. Interesting comments coming through. 441790. We got one coming in from Barbados saying, I disagree with Dr. Ford's statement that the raw material is inert. With regards to our players, certainly Archer, Jordan, Aaron Jones, and Bethel are our raw materials, and they are certainly not inert. Dr. Ford's theory must also be flawed when he suggested that the amount of time that our players play with each other does not count. Dr. Ford, do you want to respond to that?
Well, I'm just dealing with the facts of what the production and what the results say. You know, I'm not saying that West Indian cricketers have no ability. I'm saying that the ability to grow and evolve has been lost on the players that have remained here. I don't think that we can look at a player over the last 20 years and say that player has really improved and gone on to be something more than they started out to be at the beginning. If you look at the trajectory of West Indian players, a lot of them start out very well and they go slowly down. You can go back all the way back to Jimmy Adams. You can go to Adrian Barath, Green Smith. You can look at Wavell Hines. You can go all the way through Ramdres Sarwan. It is a trend. And, you know, still we can see that a player goes somewhere else and does well. But I was really dealing with Julian's theory, letting players play four-day cricket or test cricket here would make a difference. But I was also making the unique point that these individuals who play the best white ball cricket all over the world, including IPL, are unable to perform at the international level. And I think we can look at all of the big players that we've had. We can look at Pollard. We can look at all of the players that we can consider. You know, Ryan, we can go all through. And even though they have dominated and been paid big bucks at IPL, at the international level, their records are always less and significantly less than in those tournaments. So why are we underperforming even though we play more than everyone else? And we're available for more than all the other top players from Australia, in England. And that's really the question. But I am saying that there's something that's not right with the guys that are there now. And the facts bear it out.
All right, 7:30 in the country. We'll get a reaction from the panel when we come back. Continue to make your calls. Sad news, the BCL stalwart Christopher McCullen has died. I'm sure you know that you know that gentleman, there's a gentleman that served the BCL with tremendous distinction over the years, and talking about the work that he's done in terms of gathering all those scores all by himself, you know, it's really very, very, very sad. And may he rest in peace. And thanks you, Andy Thornhill, for in fact sending me that note. So Christopher McCollin, who is, when you talk about the BCL, you talk about Owen Eswick, you talk about Christopher McCollin, he's gone to the great beyond. We're going to pause for business calls. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. Mason and guests, brought in association with the good friends at ASF White Rum, the best show of the day. ASF White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASF is the best show of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. What you want? ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day. All right, before we go back to the telephones, they're ringing, ringing, and ringing. Join us for the inaugural T20 St. Philip Cricket Festival that kicks off tomorrow at Rice's. Thanks to Ricky Clark for giving that information. This is a fantastic opportunity for us to come together and show support for our local teams as they compete in this thrilling competition. There's six teams representing St. Philip South, St. Philip North, St. Philip West. The Honourable Ministers are there, along with the representative from St. Philip, the Honourable Sonia Brown, of course, Kay McConney, and Inda Weir. So the fixtures have been posted, and we're looking at a grand prize of $10,000. See you at Rice's tomorrow as we kick off for an unforgettable festival of cricket. See you there. So thanks to you, Ricky Clark, the wanderer from Darrell's Road. Always good to go to Darrell's Road. He certainly looks after you very well there. And we certainly are very, very happy to give that information out. Michael Lashley, of course, he loves his cricket. He's saying, Andrew, what about Jadeer Blades? Very promising left-arm fast bowler. Certainly doing very well in the regional tournament. Fellow, and is there a regional tournament, though? I mean, you play your regional tournament, then the test match is on, and it's lost, really. What's going on there, fellow, as we're joined by Gladson Small? Fellow, yeah, what's going on there?
It's lost because all the interest is on the England series called the rivalry, and obviously the Super 50 is being squashed. I just want to also commend Barbados on that victory the other day. I thought it was good to see Kyle Meares taking the responsibility of bowling.
Yep.
But the young men have been showing good form, and Joe, you will hope that again those people who are watching on behalf of Cricket West Indies will put these guys' names on a list and have dialogue with them and where you want to take them. I think what is missing from our cricket, and particularly in our bowling department, is that our fast bowlers don't understand the mechanics of bowling fast.
Mm.
Fast bowling is not bowling one spell fast. Fast bowling is bowling three or four spells fast. And they don't understand the mechanics. And I think that those are the things that we are missing. And I think that we need to try and help our young fast bowlers by incorporating some of our senior bowlers.
Mm-hmm.
Around the academy. There's a team in Antigua. I believe that some of the senior bowlers should be around that squad in Antigua as well to help them to understand what is required of them when they call themselves fast bowlers. And it's not for free too, Andrew. I don't think no former cricketer should do anything for free.
Mm.
Cost of living is high. If you want a former cricketer to do something, offer him something.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
Not come and do it. Don't come and do it. I saw someone send me some pictures of some chickens in Barbados. Cost $36.
Mm. Only?
So even if you get them off $50,
that's a small fellow. That's a small chicken.
But it was small.
Indeed.
So you can't. No, small. So you have to give a fellow something if you want to come and do something. And
Form
a cricket
fish. Yeah, yeah.
Cost, to live like anybody else.
Cost of living is,
for the world. Yeah. But they need to compensate them if you want them to speak to the young players.
I agree with you.
It's important that they do.
I agree. Cost of living is very high. I went to Guyana recently for the Testament. By the way, I'm going back for the Global T20. I want to thank those for inviting me there, so I'm going to be going back for that. And I went to the border market, and a pineapple was for about 11 Barbados dollars. Can you imagine that in Guyana? When we went there, a couple, it was for, $1,100. Yes, that's 11 Barbados dollars. I saw that in fact, tomatoes. Got to get the pronunciation correct. What's it, Ken? Is it tomato?
Well, we wouldn't argue over tomato and tomato. We wouldn't argue.
Tomato.
Okay, Julian.
Okay, Julian. The next question would be, is it a fruit or vegetable? Yeah, those tomatoes there were something like $6 a pump. So, no, I'm telling you, I was very surprised.
Oh, good,
yeah. Yeah, man, good, yeah. Things are getting, I suppose that's the price you pay for progress. Now, just before we go to Gladstone, we got one coming in from Mr. Joel Bailey there, formerly of the Newsday, saying, good evening, gentlemen, listen to your show. Regarding Shamar Joseph, there's a test match starting in Antigua on November the 22nd, lest we forget. Good point you made there. Continue to send your WhatsApp messages, 1-246-253-4679. Hello to Gladstone. Gladstone, where are you? Are you still in Barbados? We got to hear you.
He has to unmute.
You have to unmute. Doc, you want to help him?
There you go.
Loud and clear.
Yeah, here we go.
Where are you?
That shows how far I am away from Barbados. I'm now in St. Lucia. I left. Unfortunately, I had to get my English clients up to St. Lucia for out of Barbados last night. But listen to you just chatting there. Remember me. I'm not going to come shopping with you, grocery shopping with you, Andrew, anytime soon. It's going to cost me too much money.
I agree with that. How was the experience in Barbados?
I was home, fella.
Mm-hmm.
I was home.
Yes.
Apart from the rain, hey?
Oh, lots of rain.
So much rain in November. We went on a boat. We went out on a boat cruise on Friday night.
Yes.
Oh man, I was begging for dry land at some stage. It was a bit rough out there. Always brilliant fun. My clients obviously enjoyed it, and obviously to see England, actually one of my guys, it was the first time he'd seen England win in Barbados, so that was well worth the visit.
Indeed. How many did you bring over, approximately?
It's white ball cricket, and even myself, I don't get excited coming to watch the white ball cricket. So we had 15 people in Barbados,
right?
And we've now got a dozen people here in St. Lucia. But whereas if it was a test match,
oh yes,
and last time was a test match in Barbados, we had 120 people in Barbados.
Yes, that would happen.
That just shows how it works. With myself traveling, and it's a shame, obviously, how the cricketing landscape is these days. They're fitting in all of these white ball series. Mm. It makes a lot of money. Still makes a lot of money for the boards. Whereas me and my clients, I get home, I go back to UK, and then I go straight to New Zealand, England over there to play three test matches. And I must admit that I'm looking forward to watching those games. And I am to watching white ball cricket here.
I see. So, in terms of the travel of English, you think a lot will go to from Barbados to St. Lucia, or maybe it'll go just a lot of them will go home, basically.
Now, listen, Barbados is always the place that the English will always come.
Yes.
Because of the history, the whole stuff. So there's the crowds, and I know already. It wouldn't be it was great to see the Kensington Oval. You know, it was on Saturday, Sunday. It was almost full, I would say, particularly indeed. The Kensington stand.
Yes.
And it's a great atmosphere to have. But in terms of, but even like the Barmy Army, it was obviously that really raucous England traveling band of supporters. their numbers are well down for white, because when you come for a test match to watch the test match abroad, and these people, they're very, listen, these people know what they're doing. They spend their money wisely and well, but they know they're going to be in that location for at least a week, 10 days.
Right, that's important.
Whereas with the white ball game, and listen, it's really cleverly done what Cricket West Indies do. How they've put a couple of games in Antigua. So I was in Antigua for those two games. But then we had three games in Barbados, mm-hmm. and another three games in St. Lucia. And obviously the popular tourism islands in the Caribbean.
That's very true.
So there's no coincidence that the fixtures are organized that way. One, for Cricket West Indies to maximize their take, their gate receipts and their take from that. But also, they know that taking it to those islands, they're going to get England supporters. Even at the hotel I was staying at in Barbados, there were people there who in the hotel who just came down for holidays. And then they saw it and said, oh, is there cricket here? Oh, we're going to come to the cricket. So there were loads, there's lots of that goes on as well, where they know they're going to grab the attention of those casual supporters because it's happening. They happen to be on the right island at the right time.
Indeed. All right, let's take a call. I'm sure that Dr. Ford and Philo and the panel will want to interact with you, but we're going to take a call heading to 742 in the country. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night to our favorite female caller. How are you?
I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me.
Mr. Mason.
Yes?
I must give you my displeasure. On Saturday when I saw the team.
Yes.
I called up a friend of mine and told her West Indies is going to get beat. He was one-sided. It was unbalanced. I don't know what the selectors were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, when I saw the Hines guy, I said, these people can't be serious. They want 11.
Well, Terrence, you're talking about Terrence Hines?
Yeah. I mean, it was pathetic.
Mm.
You know, and King and Lewis must always realize that nobody's going to give them free runs. They're going to earn their runs. Unlike West Indies just give away their wickets. And it was poor. And then you have a captain that's always down on the long boundary. He don't know what's going on. He is lost.
Mm.
If I had my way with West Indies cricket,
mm-hmm.
you see the team that played the 50 over?
Yes.
I will play them. The only thing is I will wear Poran because Russell and them do not show their true colors for West Indies, but they give their heart out for the IPL. They even take a reduced pay just to play IPL. But when they come for West Indies, they just show up, but they do not add nothing to West Indies cricket.
They don't perform.
They don't perform.
Mm.
I will only play Poran. I would take that 50 over team and put Poran
in. Uh-huh.
And let that 50 over
team. And Sheo would be your captain.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It hurts my heart. I didn't watch. I went to sleep Sunday night.
Oh, you went to sleep?
Yeah, you can't tell.
So are you going to be watching the games in St. Lucia?
Well, based on the team selection.
Okay.
And how they perform.
Yes.
Because West is showing the world now that you cannot, that they cannot bat mm-hmm. first every the game.
Mm.
They open up their ambition.
Yes. They don't defend well.
Right. Despite the situation, you can't always win the toss and feed. But yes. They show.
And they got to make the necessary adjustments whether you win the toss or not. You're right. And Dr. Ford said that earlier.
And then I don't know. West Indies cricket. Taking two steps and going back.
Yeah, one step forward to. There's some calypso like that, huh? Yes, you know that one, don't you?
Yeah, I know
one
that
step
one.
Forward I know and two calypso. Step back. You know that one?
My serenade. You have to tremble.
and tremble.
The king of calypso comes from the Republic.
So that's true too. Oh, yeah, red plastic bag. You know, the most honourable. Please give him his handle. Thanks for your contribution. Time is tight. Let's go to Dr. Ford. I'm sure you want to interact with your good friend Gladstone. Doc?
Hi, Gladstone. Up and on. But have you found, what is your assessment of the
of the young England batsmen that we've seen on show here in the West Indies, Bethel and this new look team, mm-hmm. batting team, you know, missing some of your best players.
Hi, Dr. Ford, up and on, bro. Yeah. Yes, this England team, as we know, obviously they had a bit of a disappointment in the recent. I was here for the T20 World Cup earlier a few months ago, and that was a shock. That sent a few shock waves back up in England. The performance levels of that team, but even Butler himself has said that he thought he was going to be out of a job. He wasn't too sure that he was going to be able to carry on, but they've. You can't listen. He's an experience, but what they're doing, this England team, they're refreshing it, and what England try to do, they identify talent, mm-hmm. and with the likes of Bethel, Salt's been around for a year or so, but they get them in at a stage to then develop and mix and stuff. But Bethel, yes, listen, he's obviously someone that I follow. One, because he's Bayesian boy. He plays at my county, Warwickshire in England. So it's interesting, and I know that it's taken a few years. Actually, it hasn't happened overnight for him, for the youngster. He's had a few seasons, and you know, to really that had to hold himself back or the county has had to just, and it's actually good, showed him in good light that he's able to still, when he's been asked, put under the spotlight, and international cricket is a proper spotlight. There's no hiding place. And it's great to see. It's been really great to see that he's able to showcase himself in that atmosphere. And it's also, I mean, imagine this kid who grew up in Barbados, coming back to play mm-hmm. on his homeland in front of people who he know a lot of, and also it shows this kid has got something really special about him, and so hopefully that's a good signpost for England going forward. I think the lady you had speaking earlier, yes. Listen, I've seen her I've been to all of these games. How Shai Hope is not in the best West Indies white ball 11, I can't give a reason for that. I defy any cricketing brain. If I don't know which other island they're from, mm-hmm. to tell me why Shai Hope. He is West Indies' best batsman. And in T20 cricket, mm-hmm. I know it's all about, you got to hit the ball. You come up against quality bowling, mm-hmm. and you need quality batsmen to do that.
Right.
Nicholas Puran is a fine player, but he is not a number three batsman in international cricket.
Oh,
Nicholas Puran comes in the last 8-10 overs when the ball is a bit older. Mm-hmm. To come in at number three, he's not in that pedigree. Puran.
Mm-hmm. So
until the people that runs West Indies cricket, you know, just pick your best team. And for all occasions, and let these players have their chance. Yes, they're not going to come off all the time. We all know cricket's not that simple. It's not that scientific a game. You're going to have failures, but you got to pick your best players in the best positions.
That's a very interesting point.
We have one selector.
Mm.
One selector, and he has the autonomy and authority to pick who he wants to pick.
Mm.
I want to ask you about Mowgli.
Yes. That is.
Oh yeah,
because here's a man who bowls Yorkers.
Yeah,
from a short run.
Yes.
A confusing batsman.
It's still the best. Hey, Philo. If I was born to you, that's what I would try to bowl because you hit everything out. It's still the best ball to bowl when a batsman's trying to hit you out the park. It is still the best ball to bowl. It doesn't matter whatever pace it's ball at, and actually, as well as, I mean, that guy, Moses, he's obviously a batsman as well, coming in late in the order. He played a really fine pressure knock. And that's what England, I don't know West Indies cricket like you guys do, but I know that the England guys, they identify talent, and they're not afraid to let these guys, to give these guys a chance to showcase their talent. And that's what you have to do. And in these games, they still mean, it's an international game. It still means a lot. But you got to pick your talented players and play them.
Are we talking to?
Yeah, I mean, Gladstone, you've made a great point that you, as a selector, you must be astute and be able to see the skills and determine if a cricketer has the skills to flourish at the highest level. And look beyond stats, especially when you know your stats are predicated on very weak spin bowling, on spin friendly pitches, and try to extrapolate that to pick a team. And we've seen it with Crawley, we've seen it England recent times with many other people, you know, beyond the failures, but sticking with people. So I say all that to say that I can't see, yes, what you said about Hope was right, but I can't see how I could watch a guy like Kevin Wickham and be a novice to cricket and not see that Kevin Wickham should be among the West Indian squad and learning, being coached and taken along with other people. Now that's just one example. I'm not saying, yes, people may say, well, the doc is pushing Kevin because he's Bajan, but it's just, there's so few
talent,
standing stars that you have to be able to take them and let them know, look, watching you, we know what you can do. We have confidence
in
you, and we're going to help you to get there. So is that message being sent out? I mean, I'm sure it was sent to all those other players, Root when he was young, all those other players. You must know that someone believes in you.
So select your talented players, put them in the right environment, and that comes from the guys, the management. I saw Philo was right about obviously, yes, bringing in, you know, using your experience guys from the past, the good ones, the ones who knows how to impart that knowledge to these youngs in the right way, and let these youngs and give these guys a chance, because if not, you're just going to be going from bad from a poor position and not improving. And there's a lot of tough teams out there. They're not just the top boys, but also the likes of your Afghanistans and your Ireland's. These teams are getting better. And better, there's no easy games. There's no hiding place anymore. So you really gotta develop and keep pushing on.
All right,
all the way.
7:53.
Thank you, guys.
All the best. It's a pleasure. I'll see you in St. Lucia. I'm on my way there tomorrow. So keep a drink for me, huh? Please do.
I know.
All right.
As always, fella.
All right,
nice. I got you covered.
All right, wonderful, good, wonderful indeed. All right, so Gladstone Small there was very much in Barbados. Barbadian, of course, from St. George. He's now in St. Lucia, the English side, very much in control there. The best teams have to do very well. Let's do our final commercial. Mason and Guest, brought to the association with the good friends at ASFE, where rum, the best show of the day. All right, we got another 5 minutes left in the show. Let's start to go around. Let's start with you, Claudius. The West Indies are in trouble. If they're going to win the series, they need to win all three matches in your hometown there. Of course, we're talking about St. Lucia, the Helen of the West. Talk to me, Claudius. Do you think we can do it?
Yes, Andrew. I think we have to do it. Otherwise, it's going to be a very depressing situation for West Indies. So what has come out in the program so far has been clear that the power play situation we need to deal with.
Right.
This business of three quick wickets, 3 for 18, 3 for 35, this is not going to cut it. So a solid power play performance is required, because we have seen that the batting thereafter has done a reasonably good job of maintaining the momentum through to the 20 overs. So that's important. And of course, the bowling needs to be on song. The economy rate of our bowlers has been much too high, and so we need to be hitting our lines and lengths a lot better to complement a better power play performance. So that's the key aspects that I think we need for an improved performance by the West Indies.
Julian.
Well, Andrew, it's going to be very difficult for the West Indies. I think they would, the task before them is like climbing both pitons in Supra, as well as having a good Friday night at Gersley. But it can be done. You know, it can be done. West Indies have beaten England before. It's just a matter. It would be a matter of winning three consecutive games. It's not going to be easy. England has been playing very good cricket, but you could never tell, as they say, game of glorious uncertainties. So if England do not bring their A game, let's assume they didn't bring the game, the A game in the first game on Thursday, then West Indies have, you know, could win that game and be back in the series. So, you know, once they could win this first game on Friday, then it could be very interesting.
Philo.
On Thursday.
I agree with Julian. It's going to be difficult for West Indies to do it. It's like climbing the pitons wet. But it can be you know, I think to win three T20s back to back, especially on one Thursday and then you have Saturday and Sunday, is going to call for a tremendous amount of ability, concentration, hard work, focus, and a lot of discipline in all the departments. And I hope that West Indies, the squad, whoever the 11 that they put out there, and look to win that first game on Thursday, and then look to come on Saturday and repeat, and obviously go on Sunday for the whole hog. But it's going to take a big effort, Andrew, and I hope they do have the firepower and the energy to topple England. Because England obviously is on a very good high. And I wish them all the best in St. Lucia.
Dr. Ford, finish it. Leroy.
Yeah, we just have to bat well. We are familiar with the conditions, and we have to show that familiarity with results. And do it consistently so that we can have the positive results. So let's hope something good happens.
Right. So thank you very much indeed, gentlemen. Thanks to you, Claudius Emmanuel. I'm on my way to your country. I'll be there tomorrow. Looking forward to some commentaries. Of course, there's commentary. And we hope to be able to rope some of that on the weekend during the BCA Cricket Show. Thanks to you, Julian. I'm very much a part of the commentary team as well. And just quickly before I go, the St. Philip Festival starts tomorrow at Rice's. We hope to see you there. The West Indies, they got to keep the faith. And we all know that both faith and fair sail into the harbour of your mind. But only faith should be allowed to anchor. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a better tomorrow. It's good night.
Well, thank you very kindly, Andrew. Just before you run away, you mentioned the term the pitons. Just for people who don't know, I think the pitons are two mountains and I think so. Where's Julian? Julian, come back for 30 seconds.
Huge mountains.
Huge mountains.
The pitons?
Yeah.
Yes, 2,000 feet lava plug straight out of the ocean. And very impressive indeed. Look it up. St. Lucia, the World Heritage Site. You know, it's brilliant. And also a drive-in volcano down as well. The world's only drive-in volcano.
So Andrew's ambition would help him to climb, but not his ability.
Indeed.
Take that one.
Like that one. Thank you very much indeed for coming on Mason and Guest.
Thank you.
The pitons could also be drunk.
That's true. The beer. Wonderful. Have a good night.
Thank you.